Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Let's Watch Podcast. I'm your host, James, with my co-host, Carolyn.
Hello.
And we are talking about Jennifer's Body.
Yep.
A movie that I don't know what Carolyn thinks about it, but I wouldn't be surprised if she likes it a lot.
So let's talk about it. How tall do you think she is?
How tall do I think Jennifer is?
Well, it's her body. I'm just kidding. Jennifer's Body, 2009.
Directed Warren, by I'm ending Karen. This episode's over. I hate you so much. I walked into that. I was like so confused. And then you rudely hurt my feelings.
It's directed by Karen Kusama.
Who we both like.
Yeah, interesting that she directed this, given what else she directed. And written by Diablo Cody.
Who we both don't like.
Yep. and it's starring Megan Fox, Amanda Seyfried, and Adam Brody, which I completely forgot that he was in it.
And Chris Pratt.
And Chris Pratt, who I also forgot was in it. A lot of actually recognizable folks in this.
J.K. Simmons, yeah. It's yeah. Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried, though.
Yeah. So, a newly possessed high school cheerleader turns into a succubus who specializes in killing her male classmates. Can her best friend put an end to the horror? Dun-dun-dun.
Yes.
What a 2000s movie, though, given that it's these two and Adam Brody. As soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, this is, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and the fashion is not good. There's a lot of low-rise happening.
And with Chris Pratt, I think they just stole some of the cast of the OC, you know?
I did feel like they just stole. I mean, Adam Brody is like explicitly to like make a comment on like the OC character is what it feels like to me. I also think he's really good in this movie. And having quite a bit of fun. So all I knew about this movie, I had not seen it before, is that it released and kind of got panned critically and did not do very well at the box office, but then it has become a cult movie.
Yeah.
Now, did you see the movie before this?
Yes, I saw it probably around the time that I saw Mulholland Drive, if I'm honest.
Jeez.
I had a phase. Still waiting for it to end.
Did you remember much about this movie?
No, I definitely did not. Again, a movie that I watched and I was like, oh, that was fun. And then I watched it this time and I was like, what the hell? This movie, I don't know if you agree, but it's somehow, it's really good because it doesn't take itself seriously, but somehow it still takes itself too seriously at points.
Yeah, it takes itself too seriously for a movie that should just be pulpy fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like at points it doesn't because it's like, man, the names of the characters in this movie, like it's Needy is the needy main character, Chip Dove, Nikolai Wolf. Like, so it felt like they weren't taking it either felt like they thought there was some teen, like Twilight type book, which I don't think it thinks it's that. But yeah, I don't know. It somehow took itself not seriously enough and also too seriously.
Yeah, my main issue with this movie, I have two, because I do
Jennifer
think the direction
and her body.
Well, okay, so calm yourself, slow down, we're not there yet. We're not at the objectifying portion of the podcast.
that's later.
And I think the direction of this movie is very well done. It's effective, it's well shot. I like Karen Kusama's recent work. She unfortunately did end up in director jail for a bit for a movie that was not her fault.
Which one?
Because Aeon Flux. Because, you know, women get one chance in making a movie. And if it fails, it's their fault. Is that the script in this movie is awful?
Yes, it is. And I think that at points it felt like they did that intentionally because it felt like they were making fun of themselves. And that is what it should have been with all those character names and like, man, this was made back in the day when salty meant handsome and not whatever it means
now. No. That was specifically this movie trying to make it a thing. It never meant that. It was this movie trying to make it a thing. And I was just like, I hate this so much.
But they also say, they say things like banging and things like that, that I was like, okay, great. They're making fun of themselves. This is like scary movie.
The performances are definitely thinking they're making fun of themselves.
Yeah. Until later when they're not, and that's bizarre too.
Yes. This movie also uses a ton of ableist language.
That is very 2000s of it.
I should say at the time it was known to be wrong as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have certainly gotten further as a society to understand how more wrong how it is.
A lot of homophobic stuff too.
Yes. They make up, there's lots of gay slurs as well,
mm-hmm.
which is not great either, especially when it is written by Diablo Cody, who, if people don't know, also wrote Juno,
mm-hmm.
which she won an Oscar for. And I actually do not know the other movies Diablo Cody has been involved with. I'll look that up right now. But I really, really hated the script in this film. Like, that's where all the issues, because like some of the dialogue is like so clunky and just doesn't work. And then there's other scenes where it is more effective. But I'm like, I don't know if this is because of the people performing this.
Well, that's what's hard, is I felt like the actors didn't know what they were supposed to do, because sometimes it did feel like really jokey and other times it felt really awkward. And it's interesting because there were scenes in this, like particularly when Amanda Seyfried was in the institution and is like kind of going wild, I was like, oh, she's good. And then it's really weird. Her career is really, really strange.
Yes.
Because people think of her as like a rom-com person. But this movie was made...
a Twilight adjacent.
Yeah. It was made right before or after Chloe, which is another film about obsession and weirdness. But it was sandwiched, Chloe and Jennifer's Body were sandwiched between Dear John and Mamma Mia. So this girl's career is strange. And it's like a weird period of Amanda Seyfried that like people didn't realize that she's not just rom-coms. And then immediately after, she just did rom-coms for a while.
Yeah. And I mean, she's started on TV and was recently in Mank, where she's wonderful.
Well, now people are really realizing she can act again, because now she's in, what is that? There's like a mini series that she's in.
Oh, I do not know the name. But like, we both like Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah.
I think she's quite a talented actor. I wish she was in more stuff. I do feel like there was
the
maybe
Dropout,
some,
by the way.
The Dropout. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, she was also in Les Mis for like as well. Like, yeah. Forgot about that. But I just feel like there's been some wrong movie choices at the time. Mm-hmm. Or like just such different, which like I like actors who do different movies, like do a rom-com, do Mamma Mia, do Jennifer's Body. Like I'm in, like that's really, really cool to me. Like please do that. But she has picked some movies that have been really bad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And like, I should say she's been consistently working. She is in
absolutely
a ton of stuff all of the time. And at least for like, I don't know, like for the past 5 to 6 years, with the exception of the Mamma Mia sequel, which get the bag, it's been really interesting work to me.
Well, she has 63 acting credits since 2003. So
she works.
She's working.
Like, I think Amanda Seyfried is just like an actor who likes acting. And I should say she is... in her mid-30s now. She's been around for longer than you would think. Yeah.
No, sorry. She's 38.
Yeah. She's been around longer than you think she has.
Well, Mean Girls, which a lot of people... She's 37. But Mean Girls was one of her very first roles. Like, she was in All My Children, a bunch of episodes in 2003. In 2001, she was in a bunch of episodes of As the World Turns. But her first role was Mean Girls in 2004.
Yeah. So she's been quite prolific for the time mm-hmm. that she's been acting, and she does a bunch of stuff, and she takes small roles, she takes big roles, she doesn't care. I find her constantly,
she does TV, she does movies, she does everything.
Yeah. And I find her constantly interesting when I see mm-hmm. her, and I think she's quite good in this movie, the best part of this movie in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And definitely changes her look to not mm-hmm. be, because if you look at Amanda Seyfried, if you've ever seen her on red carpet, you're like, this person is stunning.
Yeah, she's attractive.
like, oh my God, like classic Hollywood, like everything. That's why she was like cast as in Mank, I imagine, part of it as well. And then in this movie, she's just like a nerdy, nebbish girl. They do the thing where they put glasses on her, which is very funny.
But those glasses are horrible. Anyone would be
ugly in
those
glasses. I know, but they don't
comment
on it. And it was like one of the things I was like, oh, that's good. We all know that you did this, but you're not commenting on it. The one thing they don't comment on. But she's great. Now, Megan Fox, on the other hand.
But Megan Fox can't act. Like, she's never been able to. She's very attractive. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like she has talent.
She's very striking.
No Yes, no one's ever tapped into her talent. Like, she's someone who I actually feel really bad for her because she clearly really wants to act, but no one's ever looked beyond the fact that she's very striking. I also wrote striking, actually, because, like, her as Jennifer is really interesting in this movie because she has this really dark hair and really pale skin, and she kind of is, like, inhumanly striking. Like, it's like you don't just see a person, like, you don't look at her and be like, oh, that's a hot girl. Like, she just doesn't look, it looks very
she's, like, too attractive.
Yes, it's, like, very succubus, seductress. It makes sense.
And considering, like, her previous role to this was Transformers.
Yes.
Where she is just used as an object.
Yeah, like that scene. I haven't seen Transformers since I was, like, a wee thing. But still, in my mind's eye, I can see that scene where she's, like, perched in a really weird way on the motorbike, like, cleaning it or changing its engine fuel.
In the
a way
car,
that you're
the
like,
car. Cleaning the car engine, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, why would you be like that? That makes no sense.
And she has, as we talked about briefly in the previous podcast, like, Megan Fox came out and called attention to this at a time mm-hmm. when it was
not taken seriously
and kind of laughed off, unfortunately, mm-hmm. and her career suffered for it mm-hmm. Because of course it did.
Yep.
And then she has not been in, like, she is not as prolific. She's getting, recently she has been mm-hmm. Like, with since 2019-ish, she's been getting, yeah. like, her actually a ton of work, which is good. I would like to see her given roles where it's like, is this person actually, like, can act in multiple different ways? Because, like, in Transformers, it's not on her. Like, that role is nothing.
No, she's an action girl in that movie. That's what she's given to do.
Yeah, she's the damsel. She's supposed to just look hot, unfortunately. Yeah. And, like, they don't give her anything. In this movie, I just don't think... I don't know if it's her or her lines. I just don't know. I do think she plays the, like, seductress part, at least interestingly. Mm-hmm. But it's not good.
Mm-mm. The mean girl, some of it is really cool, too. I liked the scenes best that were, like... Ah, oh, man, the way she talked to Needy drove me insane, but...
Yeah.
I did like that from the get-go, there was this, like, weird sexual tension with her and Needy, even before she gets, like, evilified. Because when she, like, shoves Needy into the door, Needy's face is, like, it's kind of like, ow, but I liked that, you know? And I was like, her poor little gay heart, Needy, like, oh my god, this poor girl.
Yeah, like, yeah, yes. And I do like how the actresses play that without drawing attention to it. Mm-hmm. I think that's very effective, is that they obviously, like, yes, Needy is in love with Jennifer, and Jennifer knows yeah. this and plays on it.
But Needy also really loves her boyfriend, so that's nice too.
Yeah, Needy legitimately does love Chip, which I appreciated. And mm-hmm. it's just, there's the, like, that's like the structure is there, but then mm-hmm. when they're talking,
it's so bad.
It's so bad. Like, I think I'm more forgiving with Needy's lines because Amanda Seyfried is kind of saving it.
Yeah.
But Chip's lines are awful.
Well, his name is also Chip Dove.
Like... Yeah, Chip Dove. But some of the things Chip says are like, and they're like, he's a great boyfriend. I'm like, this is not a good boyfriend. Right? Because yeah. he just isn't. Like, he's pressuring Needy to have sex a lot. Mm-hmm. And, like, making snide comments when she wants to do something, and it's like, this is the representation of, like, the good boyfriend.
Yeah.
Which maybe is intentional, but then Chip is saved and is the hero at the end. So.
Yeah. I don't think it's intentional. I think that they're actually trying to show him to be sweet. I think it's because they wanted him to be, like, liked, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I could see that. And then, like, the other representation, like, the men that, and I think my biggest issue with the movie is because going in, I did not know much other than I was like, I just want this movie to be fun. And then that I know Jennifer's going to kill people. I just want her mm-hmm. to kill, like, bad guys.
Yeah.
And the people that are killed,
they're sweet, sweet people. Well, not all of them. Some of them are shit. But when she killed the, like, weird
scene kid.
Yeah. I liked him. He was really nice. And I hate that Jennifer only eats him because Needy likes him.
Yes. And then the reveal that she also had killed Ahmet as the first victim.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, that's like super.
That made me feel
up.
Gross.
Yes, it did make me feel gross and completely needless for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it very much like it was like, you know, they I feel like there was trying to be a comment of like, this is an all white town with a foreign exchange student. They even call him Ahmet from India.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie uses him in a way or uses that character in a way that is explicitly how that they have been portrayed in previous films.
Yep.
Is that they're like immediately discarded and used as kind of like a punchline. And I'm just like, that's real gross.
Yeah, it was super gross. I get where they were coming from in that they want to explain how she had her first kill and how she realized that she needed to eat people.
Yeah.
And how it kind of got out of hand, because it did. It did get out of hand, but it didn't. I wish it wasn't him.
It could have been Chris Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then that would have been like way more. I would have been like, yeah, fuck that guy. Right. Why did you have to kill somebody who is like actually helpless in that moment?
Yeah.
Whereas if it was Chris Pratt, because he'd already been introduced as a gross character.
Yeah.
And it would have been like completely fine. Right. And there, he had shown interest in being like attracted to her. So it makes sense his character would follow instead of taking advantage of Ahmet. And then even like the football guy, you like are assuming like he's a football jerk, but like it is, he's grieving. And yeah, it's a weird choice why they did that for ones.
All of the people sleeping with her, none of it makes sense that they would sleep with her, but sure.
Other than that she's attractive.
Yeah, but like the guy who's grieving, like even him, I don't think he would, you know?
No, it didn't. It felt really like disjointed in those
moments.
Dead
friend said we should be together and he's like, okay, sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. And then it felt explicitly like they wanted to do the scene where she's like swimming in the lake, because it does make her like look very... Like, it fits, like, that she's, like, supernatural in that moment, right? Like, it's just not... And it's a cool... It's well shot. It's cool. It makes that character seem cool.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. Like, she's not someone to fuck with. But it was like, how do we get her in the lake? And I was... That's kind of... There felt like some of those scenes in this movie. I don't know. The script is just... I'm not a fan of it.
The script is a mess. And the thing is, where it works... is like when it is making fun of itself. Like, I didn't remember this from the first time I watched it. From the second time, I was like, sorry, wait, what? When Adam Brody is talking about why they did it. And so, like, honestly, the concept of this film, if you boil it down, an indie band makes a virginal sacrifice to the devil in order to become famous, but the girl wasn't a virgin, so it messed up the ritual. She becomes an evil demonic seductress who kills men and has a telepathic lesbian bond with her best friend. That's what this movie is. And Adam Brody even says, do you know how hard it is to be an indie boy band these days? We're all so cute. Like,
Adam Brody's character is great.
This is what it should be. This movie not taking itself seriously. And everyone being like, oh, he's so hot. He's got eyeliner. He's from the city. And it's like, he follows the occult, guys.
I really enjoyed his character and like everything around it, because like he's a part where he's like, I know this girl, right? She's a tease, she never puts out, she's the perfect one. And then dude was like, he's like, I grew up in a town like this. He's like, I thought you told us you were from Brooklyn, right? Like, that's so good that it's
and
just not taking itself. And then when he's killing her, he's like, what's your name again? And it's just
and I loved that, like, they thought they were defending her by being like, yeah, she is a virgin, blah blah blah, blah, you know. And then that was not, like, that's the, what it fucked it all up. So it's like both Needy and Jennifer thought they were defending her by saying she was a virgin. And it's like, no, the opposite.
Exactly. And it was like, it was so good. And everything around his character worked so well.
Yep.
And I legitimately really enjoyed him in this.
But where the script didn't work is it was just packed filled with tropes, and not even in an intentional way. Like the glasses, I think that was an intentional way. But like, we have the usual things we see with like sex and evil combined. There's like this evil woman who uses sex as a tool, and these boys who are crazed, like sex crazed, mindless idiots. Then we also have the woman who no one believes, the crazy woman that no one believes, which is Needy in this case, the pretty ugly friend. And like, honestly, so we mentioned this briefly in Mulholland Drive about how both are films about obsession and like lesbianism as a tool for like this weird, honestly, psychotic connection.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because like that goes way, way, way back to the very first vampire, even before Dracula, was Carmilla, who is a lady vamp before they even called them vampires. And her whole thing was that she would seduce young ladies, like she would be like their friend, and then their like weird friend who's like a little bit intense and like a little bit like, and this was back in the day when gayness wasn't a thing. So they were all like, what is this affection? She looks at me like people, like boys look at me. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
And then she would seduce them and suck their blood and kill them. And that was the first vampire thing. And it was all about how queerness is evil and how it's obsession and how obsession and love and possession, the lines are all so fine. And we're still seeing that, even though this movie was, or sorry, this book, Carmilla, was written as like a cautionary tale.
Mm-hmm.
It was not pro-queer. And what's weird about this movie is it has all those tropes, but it's also a queer movie, but made for boys.
It's a queer movie made for boys, but made by women.
Yes. I literally wrote down, film was definitely made by a man. And then I looked it up. Film was not made by a man. But this is a queer film for boys. And that's gross.
Yes. And it is explicitly shown mm-hmm. when Jennifer and Needy, or when Jennifer shows up and starts making out with Needy, because mm-hmm. they spend way too long of a time on that kiss.
Well, and also, this movie, I feel like, doesn't even believe in queerness. Because Needy is, and I feel like all of the Needy being in love with Jennifer comes from Amanda Seyfried. So good job, Amanda. But this movie shows that, no, Needy is wholeheartedly in love with Chip and also somehow really into Jennifer. But it's like, okay, what are you trying to say here? you know what I mean?
But then the lines Needy says at the end of the movie are being like, and Jennifer was only my friend, right? It's like explicitly my friend. It's like, it's fine that if Needy is in love with Chip and also attracted to Jennifer, that's, people can do that. Like if it's like what the movie should have been there. And I actually did like when Needy called out Jennifer after the kiss and Needy was not into it.
Yeah.
But I wanted it to be needed, but not to be into it because like it was fake, right?
Yeah.
Not because she didn't want it to happen or like wasn't attracted to Jennifer. She's just like, I know you're using me in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is not fair to me. And mm-hmm. I was like, this, what this should have been is like Needy discovering her sexuality, right? Like understanding that like she is attracted to men and women or just mm-hmm. like any gender.
But it never took that seriously.
It never took it seriously. Yeah.
She's making out with Jennifer, but is not sitting there being like, oh, but my boyfriend who I love, you know? Or what does this mean? Do I not like my boyfriend? None of these things. Like,
and then combine this with the fact that the movie uses slurs.
Yeah.
Throughout it, it completely minimizes it. And I agree with you that I do think a lot of the queerness comes from Amanda Seyfried's, like the way she looks at Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
And how she acts and that sort of stuff, because the script explicitly says no.
Mm-hmm.
In a very weird decision. And then that whole, like, I know like the kissing scene is supposed to be uncomfortable and it made me uncomfortable, but I was also as like this, and I knew going in that Karen Kusama directed it, and I was like, this feels like a man directed this. And if that is
all
what you're commenting on,
all of the sex scenes were so uncomfortable.
Yes. Just, I mean, the one with Chip and Needy, I think, was the best one because I actually thought it was, like, kind of funny.
And it also seemed like something that could actually, like, happen. And also the point of that scene wasn't, like, that was just, like, sweet high school sex, whatever. And he's just, like, a silly young boy. Like, sometimes I did, like, the way they approached
in the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, exactly.
To realize that she is not. And she, like, was uncomfortable, but, like, was never, like, she wanted that to happen, and then it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
But, like, that was the only one that was, like, acceptable, because, like, it wasn't, like, it was not the other ones, where it was,
no.
Like, it,
well,
like, the,
that one was with love and care, and it was awkward, but that's because they're teenagers, and also because she was in Jennifer's brain at that point.
Yeah, and seeing a murder happen.
Yeah.
And then, but the one with like when her and Jennifer, it's just so voyeuristic. And like, mm-hmm. I was like this, I thought the same thing. I was like, this is made for teenage boys.
Yeah.
Right here. Why are you doing this? Like, I was like, oh, you're showing them kissing. And then we have like a minute of their close up of their mouths and their tongues. Yeah. And I'm just like, this feels extremely uncomfortable. And like knowing about, didn't know that was coming, but knowing about Megan Fox's comments about the film industry, I was just like, how is this not explicitly what she was commenting on?
Yeah.
It was like super fucked up in my opinion. And like, I know, and like, I, like, again, I do think like Needy pointing out that it was like Jennifer's, like, I, you're taking advantage of me here, but then it completely ignoring Needy's queerness.
Yeah.
It's like really, it made me really like uncomfortable with the movie. And I was kind of like not interested. I lost interest in the film. Mm-hmm. After that.
Which is weird because the ending is when it gets really crazy. Like, this movie is very bizarre.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like they fight her in a pool and she's levitating and stuff. And then, like, it wraps, it does a crazy conclusion, but then it wraps it up very quickly. And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, by the way, it kind of feels like they set it up for, like, a sequel. That obviously never happened because they were like, oh, yeah, Amanda, Needy has powers now because Jennifer bit her. And she lived, so now she has like little bit of demon power in her. So then she goes and murders, which I actually think is funny, is that she murders the boy band. I just wish I'd seen that. Right? Yeah. I was like, yes, let's get Needy to be like, we have like the end of this movie is Needy like understanding, like these are the people who are fucked up and have like did a shitty thing. And are abusers, and I'm gonna go murder them. And like,
yeah, I like that she doesn't know about it. I like that she doesn't become evil. She's still Needy, but also with this like power.
Yeah.
And her sense of justice.
Yeah. Did you think so? Chip.
Yeah.
Should Chip have been the person to kill Jen, or like to wound? I guess doesn't kill, but like saves Needy.
No, it should be Needy.
Needy saving Needy, and then like Needy should have just killed Jennifer there instead of in her bed, which is like also a weird decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this movie where I end up is that it should have been better than it was, and it should have been more fun than it was, and I think a little harsher on it.
That's from the thing. That point it of somehow view, wasn't fun enough, but was also just chaos. It was, I don't know how I feel about this. I feel like I really enjoyed it more the first time.
Yeah.
But the second time it was a bit wild. I love good bad horror. You know I do. It's my favorite kind.
It's your favorite type of genre. Yeah.
And this one was just a little bit messy. Also a little bit 2000s for my taste.
Yes, very 2000s. And then combine it with the issues we've brought up.
Yeah.
It left a bad taste in my mouth, unfortunately, even though I really, really enjoyed Amanda Seyfried's performance and Adam mm-hmm. Brody's and J.K. Simmons's as well, although I just feel like he's supposed to be played as kind of a dorky, kitschy dude who's like real quirky, like a lot of quirks on him, and then they don't explain it. I'm like, cool, you made choices. And that, but then the underlying stuff I just couldn't vibe with. And now, I'm sure those criticisms were raised by people at the time.
Yeah, I feel like the movie was just very confused. Like, it didn't know what it wanted to be. Because it also had, like, the music and narration was very, very teen movie and very 2000s. But it was a horror movie, sort of. So, like, pick a genre. Pick a lane.
Yeah.
It did neither well because of that.
It didn't either well. And then combine it with, like, we touched on it briefly, like the salty thing, and I was like, no, it just very much felt like Diablo Cody, because like I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure there was like slang did cut like a doesn't exist anymore, but like there was a form of slang that came from Juno.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure, I can't remember, but it felt like her trying to do that again. When it's like salty is always meant what it means now.
Yeah,
other than food is salty, is like, no, somebody is like a little upset. And like, not like, ooh, you're so hot. Also calling someone salty to make them hot. I'm like, that's not even like,
yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Like, please don't do that. Like, there's other words you could take that could you conceivably change, but salty? I don't know. It's a weird decision. I wish this movie was better.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about Jennifer's body?
No. Yeah, no.
Where do you think it goes? Where would you put it between? It's obviously better than Tideland.
Oh God, Thailand will be at the bottom of the list.
until we stumble into something equally as awful.
Man, okay, so what do we have right now? It's Thailand, then it's...
Monsters, then it's Sunshine, then it's Mulholland Drive. It's not the worst, then it's not the best.
No.
So it's somewhere in the middle.
I'd say it's under Monsters.
I would say it's under Monsters as well. I'd say it's better than Thailand, but under Monsters.
Yeah.
It's not, I was like, it's not better than Sunshine.
I wanted to like this film so much.
It's definitely, like, this, it's Carolyn said, this is like her favorite genre of movie.
Exactly. So if they don't, if they didn't get it, if I don't like it, then
nobody's
you know.
Gonna like it. yeah, that I agree. I think that's where it goes. Now, the
maybe
most
I wanted to
part.
Like it too hard, so that the only way it could happen
the
was
premise
to let me
is
down.
So cool.
I know.
I and should also, love this movie.
I love Amanda Seyfried. I know Megan Fox can't act, but she is hot. So. There's that.
I mean, yes.
And like, and normally I wouldn't want to objectify her by that, but that is the point of the movie. The point of the movie is that Jennifer is hot. That is the point.
And if it's a part about being like Jennifer knowing that and like owning it, then yes. It's an entirely different thing, but it's not.
Exactly. It was supposed to be that, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it kind of shames her and also like makes her character stupid.
Yes.
When like they do that dumb anal joke and I was just like... Why do you make this person seem like they have, like, no intelligence?
Yeah.
Like, come on, right? It just felt like we're making a little, look at we're edgy, right? Mm-hmm. But also, like, making it seem like she's stupid, which I did not appreciate. Anyway, the movie, the most exciting part of the podcast was we spin for what we watch next time. Oh, boy, it's one of the new ones we added. It is V for Vendetta.
Ooh.
Which I am very excited to watch. Now, let me look up real quick and see where it's available on, because I legitimately don't know. I just know RRR is on Netflix everywhere. So
yeah, so we'll be watching RRR, and then which is on Netflix, and then V for Vendetta, which is on Stars
in Canada, and in the United States, it is on HBO Max.
There you go.
Carolyn, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at CarolynDunk93 on all the platforms. And where can they find you?
You can find me everywhere on the internet at James Willicks, except on Twitter where the O is a zero. You can find this podcast on all streaming places. And you can send us email at letswatchpod@gmail.com. And like we said previously, RRR is the next movie we're watching. And Carolyn has an announcement. Her next Indiegogo campaign is remaking Jennifer's body into a good way and making it more gay.
Yes, we will call it. Nope, that was going to be a weird joke. I was going to say we'll call it Carolyn's Body, but I wouldn't
no,
even
please
watch
don't.
That movie.
Please don't. Please don't. Spoiler alert, Carolyn is a worse actor than Megan Fox.
And much less hot. So,
and yes,
enjoy.
Be worse all over the board.
Still Adam Brody, though.
Still, if, ooh, I'm in. Adam Brody still looks as good now as he does in this movie.
He does, actually. He has not aged.
He has not aged. He is... taken good care of himself. Mm-hmm. Also, I would like to see Adam Brody in more things because this was a good performance and seems like he is more, was like aware of his persona.
I like Adam Brody.
I do too. It's because we both watched The OC. So
yeah.
He's like maybe the only good actor from that show.
You know, he's in the first movie that I had a crush on Kristen Stewart in. He's in that movie too. So I remember him fondly from that.
Okay, goodbye.